Good morning, everyone. It's really great to be with you here this morning. We will live in exciting times. You know, we've had the announcement by our president of moving the lockdown level to level one, and it's opened up the doors for great opportunity again, as we've been encouraged this morning to reach out with the gospel and bring hope to many out there. On Tuesday or Monday, when we met as an eldership team to pray, I just really just sensed the picture I had. Jesus is still in charge of this, his church. He's the captain, he's leading us, and it's like a sailing ship. And as a sailing ship goes forward and changes course, the sails have to be unfolded. And we've been sailing under a storm jib, and I just really just sense God unfolding the different aspects of new sails and new dimensions of where he's taking us. So I'm excited just to reiterate what we've been communicating with you. Today we're continuing as we have in the past, but from next week we're going to be meeting in Church in the Home, and the leaders of the Church in the Homes will be contacting you, and we'll be meeting in respective homes. I will be preaching through YouTube Live, and we'll be worshiping through YouTube Live, and then we'll gather together to have a time of fellowship and time of discussion. And then excitingly, on the 11th of October at 9 o'clock in the morning, we'll be meeting again back at the church hall. So we will have all the protocols that need to take place, but I'm so looking forward to us that we can see you again face to face and be able to worship the Lord together and experience his presence together and to share the word together. So it's going to be an exciting time. So I'm asking you to have faith and not be fearful in this time. We're going to take all the precautions necessary, but we trust our God as we follow him and let him lead us and guide us. And we really do believe it's the right thing to do as we go forward in the season. Just also want to encourage you, please, folk, is that please attend the prayer meeting on a Wednesday night. We still can do that through MS Teams Live. We're going to push it through to YouTube Live too. We really do. We as a church have a work to do through prayer, and we need you there. And I want to encourage you, please get there on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock for just 1 hour. Let us pray, and let's work with our Lord to change this world through prayer. Amen. So today, again, I have this great opportunity to preach the word. I'd like to pray first. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and your word that brings life. And I just really ask that as we, all of us, submit to your word today, that as your word comes, it will pierce our hearts, it will change our minds. And not only that, Lord, it will change the way we do life. And I really ask, Lord, that as you impart life to every one of us today, may we hear what you are saying to us, Holy Spirit. Anoint every one of us to hear the word and do the word in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you remember what the title of last week's message was. It was a pure and simple devotion to Christ. And this week, I want to continue in that vein, and I've titled it Living a Pure and Simple Life to Christ. You see, I think this is just so important, and the Holy Spirit just wants to encourage us again of what does it really mean to do this. So the text that I use today, and I'd like to get your Bibles out and if we can read together, the text is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, and I'll read it to you. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Now, the scripture tells us that we made up as a tripartite being, body, soul, and spirit. Now, the spiritual entity and the body are quite easy to understand, but the soul is made up of our emotions, will, intellect, and mind. And this is the entity that has to be renewed. And here God actually encourages us through the scripture to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. Now, we're living in times where we have to live normal lives, and we have to focus at times on earthly things, but we have to set our minds on the things above. And the things above is actually the word of God, where God reveals to us his truth. You know, Romans 8 verse 6 also just encourages us also, I read from the ESV, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. Now, this transition has to take place in every one of our lives. Our thoughts and our purposes have to be on the spirit. And that's a process of renewal. And we're all in that process from the time that you give your heart to the Lord, become born again as a babe and grow into maturity. We're all in that process of renewing our minds. We will continue to renew our minds right through to the end of our lives before we go to be with our Lord forever. So just in summary, what we're going to be covering today, I've got 3 points that I want to cover today. Firstly, knowing Jesus Christ is in us. And then secondly, we get separated from Christ and look for him in the wrong places. And then thirdly, focusing our minds on things above. So firstly, knowing Jesus Christ in us. Now, this is very important because the Bible tells us that Christ comes to live inside of us. And we need to have a revelation by the Holy Spirit who he is. And Paul, even in Ephesians, says, he prays that we might have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we would know him better. And Colossians 1 verse 15 tells us who he is. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. We need to know who he is. Now, we need to spend time to meditate on him and his word to know who he is. Because when we get to know who he is, we start to live in another dimension, because we know that he's living inside of us. And then two, Colossians 1:27 tells us who he is in us. And I'll read portion B of that, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is an incredible miracle that God has actually undertaken. He's put himself inside of us. The God that created the heavens and the earth, that placed the stars in the sky, that made the sea, the rolling waves, and the world that we see, that we live in, he lives inside of us. And then he comes, and the revelation of him, it's not only to know that he lives inside of us and who he is, we need to know that he has his ways and he has his thoughts. And Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 55 verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I don't know if you remember Bob Mumford. He was a great preacher, and the Lord revealed to Bob, and he said to him, "My thoughts need to be your thoughts, and my ways need to be your ways, and my words need to be your words." And I think that's the reality of when Christ lives in us. God, who lives inside of us, wants to have us thinking his thoughts, wants us to be following in his ways and speaking his words. And I think that's an incredible thing, is when we get to that, that's when we bring us to a place of reality of what this divine life is in God. So what are some of the reasons why people don't know the Lord? They know about him. And this is a challenge for all of us. You know, we read the scriptures, we read the gospels, and we see in there how the Lord operated, and we marvel at the dimension that he walked in the spirit, but that's not good enough. We've got to be knowing our Lord Jesus Christ. And that for me is an important thing. It's a road of discovery. It's a day by day thing. It's a daily thing. Denying self, take him your cross and follow him. You know, I've nearly been walking with the Lord nearly 39 years, and I'll be honest with you, it's fresh every morning. I've got to continue to be fellowshipping with him, seeking him in his word, conversing with him, and it's still on a daily basis. I'm still trying to understand the enormity and the wonder of who our God is. So I encourage you to keep persevering in this, knowing your Lord Jesus Christ. You see, again, I'll just say the key to some of this is what our key verse is here, Colossians 2, verse 2 and 3. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. That is key to go forward. So God wants us to know his thoughts, his ways, and his words. But why does this not always happen? Now, I just want to put something before you. John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly." So when we confess Jesus as our Lord, we receive eternal life. And you know, many folk, that's where they stop in their walk with God. They are assured of their salvation. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they cease to follow the Lord. And they think they got a ticket to heaven. Now, that's not what God wants. Millions and millions of those who are believers, those who call themselves followers of Christ, do not go into this abundant life that God has for them. They don't experience the full package. You see, Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. But he not only saved us from our sins, but he continues to save us as we live out this revelation of his salvation that he has for us on a daily basis. And God wants us to experience this abundant life. Now, the abundant life is not the great American dream of all the stuff, a car, a house, and all the things and the trappings that go with it, even though I do believe God will bless us in that thing. But God wants us to experience Him and to live the higher life in Him. So God not only wants us to have quality of life, but quantity of life. And the quantity of life is only found in Christ. And this is only found with a close walk with the author of life, that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we really want to encourage you here this morning as we follow and pursue a pure and simple devotion to Christ. It needs to be filled with the abundant life of God. And we need to question that. Are we experiencing that? So my second point, we get separated from Christ and look for Him in the wrong places. And that's because I really do believe that our minds haven't been renewed. Sometimes we go through to tough times and trials, and we try and work out our own salvation. We talk to ourselves. We rely on our senses. We rely on our old carnal nature, and we move away from Christ. So I just wanted to share with you, which I really do believe is an answer of how to deal with this aspect of enjoying this abundant life. Now, all of us love to pray when we go through difficulties, but sometimes how do we deal with it? We come with our requests before God in the different situations we find ourselves, and we put an answer before God, even though we need to believe, we put an answer that how you should answer. So I just enumerated some of the difficult things that we go through that we don't have always answers for. You know, when people go through a difficult marriage, they ask the question, should I get divorced? And when people have financial issues, they question God, that does He really care for them? Does He really provide for them? People that are out of work and want to work but can't get a job. People that have prayed for a loved one, but that person has died. People that are getting on in age and have never married, but really trusting God for these are some simple things, but are profound. We request God and we expect an answer. So we get to this place where we on our terms, we tell God, this is what we want. And the truth of it, I want to just encourage you today and hear what I'm saying to you is, God does answer us, but He answers us very differently to the way we expect. And I really do believe the way that God answers us is to give us a promise, and the promise through His word. And I reiterate this through a scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And I'm going to read that to you now, and I want you to listen carefully. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by the evil desires. Now that looks like a lot, and I just really want to unpack that to us. You see, we bring our requests before God, and it says here that He's given us everything for life and godliness, but it says He's given it through these very great and precious promises. God works through promises of His word as we hold on to it. And when we start to do that, we hold on to His promises, then we start to participate in the divine nature, which is with Christ in us. And that word participate is also to partake and to share in this nature that God is in us. So just as I open it up to you, what it is Christ lives in us, and then He starts to live through us. But as we live life and we change our thinking, God wants to reveal His thinking to us, and He reveals His thinking to us through His word. And that's where we need His promises to hold on to and to believe and to have faith in and to speak over ourselves and to meditate upon that it becomes life. And then the reality, as those things become truth and they become reality in our lives, we start to participate in this higher life, the life, this abundant life that God has for us. Now, I don't know if you know Billy Graham. His daughter, Ruth Graham, married a man named Mr. Lotz. And I was reading her book about the Daniel prayer, and she just said how God revealed to her how to pray. So going through the situations, she always, before she prayed, she said, Lord, you know what I need to pray for? This is the situation, but will you give me a promise? And she started to wait upon God to give promises from the word. So in the situations, whether it was for financial need, whether it was for healing. She took what the Spirit of God gave to her through the scriptures, and the Lord gave a promise through his word. And she would stand on that word, and then she started to see the reality of God meeting those promises. Now, that's what I really want to encourage us with here today, as we've got to set our minds on heavenly things, God's ways and God's thoughts. God, the Holy Spirit, has got to reveal his ways to us and his thoughts to us. And that's where I really want this intimate relationship that we have with God, this devotion to Christ. When we walk life and we live life, we need God to reveal his promises to us. And I want to encourage you that that's what we need, his promises. Now, they're very specific, because remember, you're in a relationship with God. It's not me telling you this is the scripture you must hold on to. You need to go before him and say, Lord, reveal your word to me and give me a promise from your word, and you will see him come through in that. So if I look at different situations, and this is just an encouragement to you, but you've got to hear God yourself. So say a person's going through a tough and difficult marriage. Maybe the Lord will come back with a scripture in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you see, when you hold on to that, you know, God is for you. Who can be against you? It brings you an assurance. It brings you an awakening of your spirit to the dimension of God's thinking and sets you free. In an aspect where you don't have any money, maybe the Lord will come from Acts 20, verse 35, where the Lord actually said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. It might be your instruction to you to say, maybe you haven't been generous, and that's why you don't have money. God wants to teach you his ways, and his ways to get out of financial difficulty is not to hoard, but to get out of financial difficulty is actually to give. And we've spoken much about that, and that's why I want to encourage you, even this time where maybe your budget has been restricted, God is still in control, but never take your hand off the aspect of being giving. As Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And even that, when you don't have a job, you know, you might be in a situation now that you find yourself having employment, and you trust in God, asking for a promise. And maybe an example, I just use Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And you maybe need to hold on to that God's got a future for you. He's got a plan for you, and he's giving you hope. We heard as Arthur spoke the other week about the aspect of hope. There's a hope going forward. And as we've encouraged through Sally today, there are people out there that are hopeless, and they need to find hope in Christ again. Maybe even one, we find someone that of a loved one that is not healthy, and how do we pray for that? And maybe the Lord will give you the scripture from Exodus 15, verse 26, for I'm the Lord that heals you. See, God will speak specifically to you into your environment. And that's such an important thing, is hearing what the Spirit of God is saying to you. Maybe you have a teenage son or a child that has gone wayward and running away. Maybe the Lord will come back with a scripture in Ephesians 5:20. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks. And, you know, we don't always have to take control. As we give thanks and we give praise to God and let him be in control and let God work that out. You know, I just remember about that. I don't know why I'm just bringing it out to you. I remember reading a story about a family that were really battling with a child that got in and into the wrong way and got into the wrong friends and got into the wrong substances. And they would pray and they would fast and they would do everything, and they got others to pray. But when the Lord said to them, this scripture came to them, give thanks in all circumstances. And they started to give thanks for their child that found themselves in a wayward lifestyle, and allow God to be in control and allow him to work for good. What actually transpired when they did that in front of their son, what happened to him? He got so uptight with them, and he got in his car, and he was driving his car, and the Lord's presence came in that car to that young man. And it was, in a sense, God took control of that steering wheel, and the young man had to stop. And the Lord spoke into his heart. He said, your parents have handed you over to me. Now you are mine, and I'm in control. And you know, God just met him in that car that time, and he changed his heart, and he came back to the Lord, and he came back to his parents. See, God has a plan. God has a way, and he has a promise for each and every one of us. So I want to just share about our life, Nikki and I. When we got married, there was a time that we really wanted children and we couldn't have children, and we started to go all the different routes investigating, trusting God. And you know, God is so gracious and so loving that even though we had asked him, we didn't have a revelation of this thing about a promise, of holding on to a promise. But you know, God came through and he spoke through friends of ours, people in the life of the church. We were in a life group, and one of the ladies, I don't know if you know Amy Jenkins, saw a picture of two young children in nappies. Nikki was working at a baby clinic in Alberton. And even a lady that we don't think was a Christian came and said, she said, you're going to have twins. And you know, the reality of that, we investigated the natural routes and worked with doctors. But then Nikki came to me and said, you know, I'm pregnant. And I think it's only one. And I said, no, God's given us a promise. It's two. You know, I want to just tell you, I was so assured that this promise that God had actually given to us, because he reaffirmed it through scriptures that twins were born in the Old Testament. I got my insurance man. I said, I want to take a policy out because I know God's given us a promise that we're going to have twins. And I want to just, I'm not betting or speculating, but I'd like to do it. Nothing came about that. But that's how assured I was God had given us a promise. And you know what? We had two wonderful twins. And today they are Andrew and Kayla. And I don't want to embarrass them, but on Thursday, they were 19. Can you believe it? We live in the promise, and two wonderful children. And we thank God for them. And also, just I don't know why I'm just enumerating what's happened in our lives. On Thursday night, we had a bit of a wake-up call at around 11 o'clock. Neighbors were banging on the gates and doing all things. And we thought there was some domestic violence in our suburb. But we eventually found out Tyler, who's staying with us, came and said, there's a fire in the back. And we got a Wendy house in the back garden, and it was burning. And by the time we got there, it actually burnt down. And we got out there and we could extinguish the flames. And, you know, in that was our little storeroom, and we had all the precious documents of our children and reports and all those things. But, you know, that was another thing that we had to work out and how to deal with that. Because, you know, when we look at those things, those are precious and we can never get them back again. But how do we deal with that? And the Lord placed in my heart to be thankful in all circumstances. And even though it's difficult, you know, giving thanks, God has given peace, and we're working through that. And Nikki's working through that and finding peace in that. So, you know, everything in life, God's got an answer for, but that answer is through a promise. It's through his word as we apply that. So my third point is just to reiterate this. When we've got to change our thinking, we've got to be setting our minds on things above, not on earthly things, our relationship out of God. And again, as we focus our minds on the things above, what actually happens? We start to participate in this divine nature, the Christ in us, God in us. The promises, as we hold on to them, become a reality. And the reality, we start to live this higher life. And if we understand that higher life, it's the abundant life. You know, Paul went through great difficulties. And you know, we read in 2 Corinthians that he had a thorn in the flesh. Now, do I know what that thorn is? We don't really know what it is. It says it was a messenger from Satan, and we read there that he had problems with his eyesight. I mean, this is, I'm writing this with big handwriting, and we don't know what it is. But the Lord responded to him because he came to the Lord and asked the Lord to remove it. But the Lord came back to him in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. What transitioned? Paul and his difficulties found God's promise as the Lord spoke to him. And he submitted to that promise that God is. And he said he rejoiced in his weaknesses that the power of God might come. What is that power? Is this divine nature. It's the presence of God. It's the power of God as we experience God living in and every one of our lives. And that's a reality for you and myself, is that God wants us to participate in him. This is this outworking of Christ in us. It's an incredible blessing. I want to encourage you. God never left us alone. He came to live inside of us. And not only came to live inside of us, he comes to live his life through us. And he wants us to participate with him. He wants us to partner with him and to live life with him. So That's why I want you to rejoice where you find yourself. You know, a lot of people are saying at the moment, well, let's go to another country. Life is better there. Please don't do that. This is the place that God has placed you to be at this time, in this place, and rejoice in that and live life here. And it's another thing if God says, go to another place, not a problem. But let's find this fullness of abundant life that we can live above our circumstances at this time as we find the life of Christ working through us. So this is an incredible process that I want to say to you, is that this revelation of Christ in you, working through you, is something that God wants to be a liberty and a freedom in your life. So I summarize in conclusion here. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's very important. That's not just confessing him as Lord and Savior. You need to know him. You need to know him working in and through you. You need to know his ways. You need to know his thoughts. You need to know his word. And that's something that we've got to work together with him in our relationship with him. But it's an incredible journey. It's a wonderful journey. And then through that, he will bring you to a place of experiencing abundant life. Sorry, I don't know what's happening there. To experience abundant life. And I just really do want to encourage you is to pursue the renewing of your mind, to set your mind on the things above through the promises of God. So I'm going to tell you, even today, there's going to be opportunities ahead of you that you're going to face that you need to deal with. And you're not going to know how to deal with them. But as the Lord is within you and the Holy Spirit is within you, turn to him and ask him for his word. And then stand on that word and apply that word. Think about that word, meditate on it, even memorize that word, and let the freedom come through that. And then you start to experience, as you hold on to God, find his ways, find his thoughts, find his word, then you will see this divine nature of Christ living through you. You see, this, I believe this is a secret for every one of us here today, is that God wants us to find him and him in our lives so that we can live abundant life. So as you begin to apply this to your life, you will experience the kingdom of God like never before. You'll find his liberty, his freedom, his new life, and this abundant life that God has promised you. May you not fall short of what God has given us. Every spiritual blessing that we have received, but may you participate with him. May you partner with him. May you share with him as you work out life with him. This is an incredible journey that you have. So don't capitulate to the systems of this world and to earthly things and think like the world. Think as God thinks, and you'll start to find this abundant life that God has for you. Amen. So I'd like to pray, especially for folk that are out there today. Maybe you're not in this place of holding on to God and walking with him, but you desire to walk with him and to know him. If that's you today, and maybe you have wandered, and the Bible tells us that maybe you've backslidden and you've taken your eyes off the Lord and you want to come back to him. If that's you today, I really ask you to put your hand up and to respond to him, and I'd like to pray for you. And those two out there that you've never known the reality of a living relationship with the living God, and this is Jesus calling out to you, that he's telling you that he loves you and wants you to come to know him, but you need to believe upon him and confess him as your Lord and Savior. If that's you too, would you pray this prayer with us too? And what's going to happen is a miracle, that Christ is going to come and live inside of you, and you're going to know this inward witness of the living God within you. So let us pray. Will you all submit to the Lord as we pray together? Father, firstly, I pray for those individuals that have never known you. And I ask, Lord, that your hand of grace would be upon them. That, Lord, that they would come to a place of submission to you now in Jesus' name. So if that's you and you'd like to commit your life to the Lord, will you say this prayer after me and believe? And the Lord's here to meet with you this morning. Lord Jesus, I confess you as my Lord and Savior. I ask you to come live in my life, and I confess my sin and realize that you paid the price for my sin and washed me and cleansed me from all unrighteousness. But today I ask, will you become a living reality in my life and allow me to follow you and to find the purposes of an abundant life that you've called me to. I ask this now in the name of Jesus. Amen. And then for us out there that are committing ourselves to knowing Christ, maybe you've wandered and you need to find a deeper walk with him, I'd like to pray for you. Lord, I pray for everyone today. All of us, Lord, we all wander and we take different routes and we get distracted and we don't always live out this abundant life, all of us, Father. And I ask, Lord, that you would meet us and that you would take this word and that you would reaffirm it in everyone's hearts and minds. And as everyone, Lord, walks with you, that you would give them the precious promises of your word, that, Lord, that they would know your thinking, they would know your ways, and that, Lord, they would know your word, that they can all participate in this divine nature of Christ. So, Lord, take us into this wonderful liberty and freedom in Christ as we work with you, as we live with you, and we serve you. May this become a reality in every one of our lives today. Please encourage us, Holy Spirit, as we follow you. Will you guide us and lead us that we be obedient to you and follow you, Lord, all the days of our lives. We ask this now in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you, folk. I hand over to Brad. We'll chat to you later. Thank you. Thanks, Brad.